Tonight's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 40-43. Views from the Bibles under the bench, this can be found on page 913. Again, that's Luke 7, 40-43. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who owed two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other owed 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, You have rightly judged.
Good evening. So good to see you tonight. Happy that you're here. We have visitors with us tonight. It's a joy and a privilege and a pleasure to have you in our assembly this evening. And we do ask for you to stick around after services. Give us an opportunity to get to know you better. As revealed in our scripture reading, Jesus loved to teach, and a lot of his lessons came to us by way of parables. His stories were meaningful. They had purpose. There was a point always behind them. They were indeed designed to teach a lesson. One such lesson that Jesus wanted to teach to a fellow by the name of Simon, who was a Pharisee, and it can be found in your Bibles in Luke chapter 7. To kind of set the stage for this event, you need to understand that there was an ongoing conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees and his acceptance of sinful man in this sinful world. Not that he approved of sin, not that he wanted folks to live in sin, but that he wanted the sinners to come to him so he could save them. Luke chapter 7, in verse 29, for example, says, and when all the people heard him, that is Jesus, and even the tax collectors justifying God, having been baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. So this predates even Jesus. We can even go back to the baptism of John. Here in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is the invited guest into a man's home, Simon, who is a Pharisee. As Luke is recording this for us, I want you to notice the key characters, and we'll talk about them in just a moment. And then we'll dig into the parable. Beginning in verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. He went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? There's your parable. And there's a point to the story. Simon answered, and he says, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with the tears, her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I want you to try to visualize this in your own mind. In this story, with our key characters being, obviously, Jesus, Simon the Pharisee, and then not just any woman, emphasis is on the fact that she's a sinful woman. We can almost, as we see this story unfolding in our mind's eye, as Jesus, she catches word that Jesus is in Simon's home. Now, my understanding was that normally in some of these homes there was a courtyard, if you would. That was the place where you entertained your guests. It was large enough to have guests in. A lot of the rooms were very small. And in this courtyard would have been a great place to entertain. Now, when we're talking about your guests, when we're talking about entertaining our guests and sitting down and dining with them, brethren, it wasn't like we do back here in the fellowship hall, grabbing a chair and pulling up to the table. They reclined on their right arm or left. They would recline at the table and they would eat. So here's Jesus. He enters into Simon's home. What kind of guest would you say Simon was? Or a host, rather. Not a very good one, was he? And Jesus even illustrated that. He pointed that out. But yet, here's a woman with a very bad reputation. She comes into Simon's home. She breaks all the rules of common courtesy because she obviously just invites herself in. And she begins to do things for Jesus that were far above and beyond the common call of courtesy that Simon should have done. Washing his feet, anointing his head with oil, giving him a kiss. And not just any oil. Hers was a costly, fragrant perfume, if you would. Simon draws conclusions about this woman and Jesus in that one moment where she is doting over him and expressing her love unto Jesus. If this man knew who this woman was, he wouldn't allow such conduct to be carried out. But this was a story about love and forgiveness. And Jesus shared this with Simon in this parable. You see, in this parable that Jesus reveals, he says, well, we have a creditor. We have a lender of money. And there are two individuals who have come to this creditor. And they have borrowed money. There was one who borrowed 500 denarii or denarius. And we have another character, the third character in this parable. He has borrowed 50. Money lenders were, and borrowers were just as common in Jesus' day as they were and are in our day. And to help us to understand the value of a denarii, we can break it down in two ways. First, in a monetary value. For example, a denarii, my understanding, was equivalent to about $25. So we have one who borrowed and owed about $1,250. On the other hand, we have one who owed $25,000. Let me ask you, which bill would you like to pay? I think the answer is easy, isn't it? There's another way we can break this down. Instead of just looking at monetary financial value of something, we can break it down into a day labor's wage. A denarii was worth about a day labor's wage. On one hand, we have one who would owe the lender about 2 months of work. The other would owe approximately almost 2 years worth of work, 20 months. Let me ask you, which debt would you rather work off, 2 months or 2 years? You see, when Jesus shared this parable with Simon, he got it. And Jesus asked him, let me ask you, which one do you suppose, if he's forgiving both freely the same, which one will love him more? That's the point. Don't lose that. If you've been forgiven much, you're going to love much. He got it. What is the lesson that Jesus is trying to convey to us when it comes to love and forgiveness, brethren? First of all, I think Jesus wants us to understand his love for us. And this is the first thing that just jumps out at us, is Jesus' willingness to receive sinners. Jesus' willingness to receive sinners. The Pharisee would have nothing to do with the common people, let alone, much less, that sinful woman. The point is reinforced there in Luke chapter 7, in verse 39, whenever Simon himself is saying, when he saw this, he spoke to himself, he says, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know what and who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she's a sinner. I have a newsflash for him and others. He knew. He knew exactly who she was. He knew she was a sinner. He knew, everyone knew she was a sinner. But instead of running from her, here's the difference, church. Instead of running from her, in a very figurative sense, he ran to her. He did not sit there with criticism in his heart and say, that's shameful. How dare you barge in on this man's home like this? As a matter of fact, he ran to all who needed salvation. You remember that sinful woman in Sychar in Samaria. She came in search of water, but she got more than she bargained for, didn't she? Jesus, knowing her past and her present, he did not withdraw from her, but rather he approached her and he afforded her the opportunity to change her life. In John chapter 4. Why did he do that? Rather, he loved her and he wanted to save her from a devil's hell. He did the same thing with the tax collectors. Tax collectors. They were despised by everyone. I think they still are. They did not fit in anywhere because the Jews hated them if you were a Jewish tax collector because you're betraying your nation. You're working for the Roman government. You've sold us out. The Romans didn't care about them. All they cared about was making sure they get the money that was due them at the end of the day. You remember there in this same book, in Luke in chapter 19, when Jesus was passing through Jericho, there was a, as our children sing that song, a wee little man, Zacchaeus. He had heard that all the commotion and seen the commotion, Jesus was passing that way, and I got to admit to you, I'm not of tall stature either. I can relate. A shorter guy can relate to Zacchaeus. When we're standing in line at a parade and guys like Mr. Don are standing in front of you and you're trying to bebop around and see around him, it's hard. And he saw a tree, a sycamore tree. And he ran and he climbed up in that tree and said, oh, now I get a bird's eye view of Jesus. Jesus, and can you see this happening there in Luke chapter 19? When Jesus sees Zacchaeus, do you remember what he said to him? Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down from there. I must go to your house. Jesus invited himself. Did you notice that? Brother, I'm here to tell you, don't ever be ashamed of the gospel. Don't ever be ashamed of Jesus. Because sometimes we have to invite ourselves. Because we know what's best for those who need the gospel. Zacchaeus, the scriptures go on and they tell us that he joyfully received him. They had a great encounter. Jesus went on there to teach him a valuable lesson. In verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, he says, I give half my goods to the poor, and I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'll restore them fourfold. Did he get through to him? Absolutely. This is a change. Jesus shares with us in verses 9 and 10 why he wanted to go to Zacchaeus' home. If you're ever wondering, why did he do that? Why did he invite himself into Zacchaeus' home? He tells us. Today's salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why. That's why he invited himself into Zacchaeus' home. This was Jesus' trademark, seeking and saving the lost. No one else may have loved them, but he sure did. Maybe, friend, that's the way you feel. You feel unloved. You just feel unloved. I want you to know that God loves you. He always has and He always will. And He wants to be the invited guest in your life. He does. But we must reciprocate. The story teaches us of our love for Christ is in proportion to our awareness of sin. There was a radical difference, brethren, between Simon and this sinful woman. Wouldn't you agree? Simon wasn't aware of his own sin, but the woman was fully aware of hers. Simon didn't even feel as if he needed forgiveness. The woman was fully aware of the forgiveness that Christ granted her. Simon did little for Christ, because of his dull heart towards his sin. However, the woman did an enormous amount for Jesus because of his forgiveness of her sin. Don't forget the parable. The parable teaches us the lesson about a real life story. The parable was exposing both characters, Simon and the woman. When we consider the parable that Jesus shared with Simon, Simon was able to make the connection between forgiveness and gratitude. And a real-life scenario was developing right before his very eyes. If Simon would have been writing the script, though, for this one, trust me, he would have been the good guy. But the truth he known, and the sad reality was, he was not the good guy. He was the bad guy. He failed, and he failed miserably. Verses 44 through 46, Jesus pointed it out. I came into your home. You didn't even give me a common greeting of courtesy, of love. No kiss, no water, no anointing of oil. You did none of that for me. But look at this woman. Look at what she has done for me. Look at what she's doing for me. She's broken all cultural barriers down. She's bypassed all of the common courtesies that should have been given to me in the sense that you haven't done them. Jesus taps it off with the reason you love little is because you feel you need to be forgiven of little. That's why you love little. You see, our love is in response to our awareness of our forgiveness of sin. The woman loved much because she had been forgiven of much. And the $10,000 question is this: how much is too much? How many sins does a person have to commit before they feel brokenhearted and ashamed? I hope you're sitting there, and the answer to that question is just one. Because if you're not bothered by just one sin, friend, you will make a million excuses for a million other sins. That's not the path any of us should be on. That's not the path any of us should take. The day we become comfortable with sin, this one, we'll excuse many others. So I have a question for you, and this is where we'll finish this lesson up tonight. Which one are we? Are we more like self-righteous Simon? Do we walk around with our chest puffed out, full of self-confidence and sinful pride? Are we quick to pass judgment on others before we know the facts? Or allow the facts to see the light of day? You see, the Pharisee, he passed judgment not only on the woman, but do you know who else he passed judgment on? Jesus Christ. He did. If this man knew who she was, he wouldn't be acting this way. He wouldn't be this kind towards her. Are we like this Pharisee, always pointing the finger at somebody else? Always ready to jump on someone for not doing something right? Luke chapter 5 and verse 30, again, the Pharisees question Jesus' very own disciples. Why does he eat and drink with sinners and tax collectors? What's his deal? In Luke chapter 15 and verses 1 through 2, the same type of questioning occurs. Are we so absorbed with ourselves and our petty approach at holiness that we can't even allow ourselves to show common courtesy, let alone Christian kindness to someone else? You see, Simon miserably failed at showing Jesus common courtesy. Simon failed to see how his own faults were enormous, but quickly pointed out the faults of others. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, perhaps in his mind, that's for everyone else. The truth be known, this is why he could not love the Lord like that sinful woman. I'm okay. I'm okay with the way I am. But on the other hand, the sinful woman, 180. Is our life, is our attitude much like this sinful woman? We know that our sins, brethren, will keep us out of heaven. Without God's grace, without God's mercy, without God's forgiveness, we have no hope. Sound like this morning's sermon a little bit? We graciously accept his sin offering, and we graciously and faithfully return our love unto him for what he has done for us. Brethren, he has saved us from hell. How could we not love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? How could we not? You see, that's what that parable is all about. Which one are we? Which one did Jesus approve of? Obviously, the cognizant, sinful woman. She loved much because she had been forgiven of much. When one feels like they need to be forgiven of little, they love little. A real life story matched a parable that Jesus shared verbatim. I'm going to ask you tonight, do you love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? Do you view love in the light of the Pharisee, and from his perspective, well, God, I'm basically doing you a favor because I'm one of your disciples. You know that, right? Lord, you know that I've served you for many years, and I've done many good things, and there's a lot they can learn as a result of what you and I can do together, God. But mainly me. Or is it from the perspective of this sinful woman? I'm nothing. I have nothing. I am nothing without you, God. I am nothing without Jesus Christ in my life. I have nothing. I am nothing. As Paul said, I have considered everything but rubbish so that I might gain Jesus Christ. Now that's the type of person the Lord is looking for. That is the one that Jesus can use. Which one are you? If you don't have Christ in your life, we're inviting you tonight to respond to the invitation. Come forward tonight. Repenting of your sins, friend. Make that confession of Jesus being the Lord of your life. Be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission and the forgiveness of your sins. We have a baptistry right back here. Every now and then I have the privilege of even hearing it churn back there. The waters churn. I heard it churning this morning. And it wasn't a distraction. I think it was a part of the invitation. I don't know how you looked at it. That's the way I looked at it. It's ready. All things are ready. But the decision is yours. Maybe tonight you need to return with a humble heart, solely and completely, totally give yourself to the Lord. Recommit your life. Maybe it's the prayers for strength and encouragement that you need. If you need to respond to this invitation, please come forward together. We stand and we sing.